Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I would like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 509-727-8977 or go to the web at kenmoreteam.com. Even better, you can get notified of when the new shows are posted on YouTube by going to YouTube and subscribing to the Kenmore Team channel, Mr. John McKay over there. Mm. And John, not to leave you out, because you're on YouTube as well now,
okay.
Even though you told me you didn't want to be, they can see your beautiful face there as well. And you can tell us, how are you doing this week?
Well, doing good. At least my picture's not on the post office wall as well.
Just Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, thanks to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, we appreciate you reluctantly participating. Well, we have been looking at lots of real estate in the news this week.
Oh, yeah.
So first, before we get to like our business side of things, we've got our national celebrity real estate story. It's actually been on the show before, if we go back in the archives, but they are saying and reporting, Realtor.com is showing, Michael Jordan has had his house in Chicago on and off the market for the last 12 years.
Wow.
And they're reporting that it was listed and sold at $14.855 million.
Yeah.
Now, John, math real quick.
Okay.
14.855. I love this.
Okay.
1 plus 4.
5.
Plus 8.
13.
Plus 5.
18.
Plus
5.
23. 23. The list price adds up to Jordan's number. And
yes,
boy, he stuck to it. I mean, I mean, if you got that much money, you can just sit on that for that long. Now, I went back and looked at the history of this place, and it is crazy. I mean, basketball court, massive house, originally listed for $29 million and then reduced over the years, finally reduced to this amount, which he wouldn't reduce it anymore.
Yeah.
If I've tried to find all of the listing history, I believe he was with three or four different firms throughout the course of the listing.
Wow.
And when you look at that, the time that it was on the market, I know last week a lot of people got their Benton County assessments and their tax assessments. I heard about it. Not necessarily everyone super pleased with it. But imagine Jordan, over the course of the time the house was listed, paid over $1 million in property taxes.
Yeah. Seven acres, 56,000 square feet.
Yeah. Massive.
And big house.
To the point, too, where when he wasn't living there and had gone back to North Carolina, he had to have not only pay the property taxes, had to have a full-time caretaker.
Yes.
Employee at the house. Now, that's not a bad job. Well, I take that back. That could be a bad job.
Yes.
But not a bad place to be living while you're there taking care of the property. So pretty interesting to see. It has not closed. They're just reporting that it's showing pending. So I'm curious if the 14.855, if the 23, I'm really curious to see the final close number on this and see if there's some sort of cryptic Jordan number that ends up in the final sale price. But
well, aren't they reporting it's under contract?
They are. So what that means is, though, it's not public yet what the final price was. Mm. We only know like what it was listed at when it went under contract.
Yes.
So until it closes and records at the county, that's not a public number. So we don't know what it sells for until we are able to see county records.
Yes.
And that'll be when the sale finalizes and records. So if that adds up to Caitlin Clark, never mind. No, I'm not. No, we shouldn't even go there. Okay. too much math for me, McKay. We'll see. We will let you know when that closes, what that looks like. So I'm going to go now to follow up on our local story. Shout out to the HBA. I just want to thank them again. The last couple weeks of Parade of Homes and then Chefs on Parade They put on a great event, going out, seeing all the chefs, seeing all the homes, what the home builders have put into those homes. There were truly some very, very phenomenal homes out there. And then I know it's not easy for all the chefs to do the Chefs on Parade, to basically leave your normal kitchen set up and feed thousands of people in one night. So, yeah, just really appreciate all the people that went out there and just did just a fantastic job for that event. And then when we get down to some serious real estate stories, today we're going to be talking about the biggest story that's been leading the news, and that is in the last week, the Fed cutting the Fed rate by a half a percentage point this last week. Now, we had been talking on the show leading up to that the last month that interest rates had been falling dramatically because they were anticipating that cut. And there was speculation if it was going to be a quarter point or a half point. We ended up with a half a point cut. And then Fed Chairman Jerome Powell said, and I took this quote right out of their statement that he made. He said, the Fed has been assigned with two goals, maximum employment and stable prices. We will remain committed to supporting maximum employment, bringing inflation down, and keeping longer-term inflation expectations well anchored.
Okay.
Our success in delivering the goals matters to all Americans. We understand that our actions affect communities, families, and businesses across the country. So when you go back and look at this, it's interesting, when I'm doing radio shows a year and a half ago, we're in the opposite cycle. Inflation's running rampant. They're raising interest rates to fight inflation. The economy is generally clicking along at a very, very healthy pace, minus the inflation. But that starts to very, very dramatically affect the housing industry and housing affordability. Probably, I would want to say, more so than almost any other industry directly, with what's going on as those rates change. Now, a lot of people were saying, oh my gosh, then Lance, now that this has happened, I'm not going to buy right now, because if they just lowered the Fed rate a half a point, doesn't that mean interest rates are going to go down more? That's like probably the number one question we've been getting the last couple of weeks, because a lot of people were waiting for that. I don't mean this in a rude way, but I am going to tell you, the mortgage markets are smarter than you are. Like, they started lowering these rates in anticipation of what was going to happen.
It
versus the reaction of what's going on. In fact, if you track these numbers daily, and that's my industry, after the Feds lowered the rate on Wednesday, if you looked Thursday morning, rates were actually ticking back up slightly.
Oh.
And so then people are like, well, why would that? How could that happen? And so it's because that market it's affected by what is said at those meetings, but it's not the direct mortgage rate. When you're seeing in the news that these rates, you're seeing a lending rate that happens between banks, which eventually will get to the mortgage market. But it's not a direct reaction to that. In my opinion, those rates had already come down, factoring in that half a point cut. So now we're in kind of no man's land as everybody kind of starts to try to figure out where the next rate is going to be. Here's another interesting fact about what happened this last week. For the first time since 2005, the Fed made a decision, this is a voted on decision, that was not unanimous.
Ooh.
They had a dissenting vote. Federal Reserve Governor Michelle Bauman voted against the half a point cut because she thought it should have only been a quarter point. So you go back and you start to read into that. What are these reactions? Well, there's some people said that they thought they weren't expecting a full half a point. And because the Fed did that, it means things are actually worse than we think they are. Now, that's taking it probably one step too far, but now we have mixed reactions. And I was surprised by this. This was not something that I expected to come out of that, obviously, because if we go back to 2005, I only had my real estate license for 5 years at that point, and now it's been 25, right? So I just haven't seen that since, I mean, in that case, a massive change in how things are being done there and interpreted. So we're not out of the woods yet with what that looks like. What I can tell you, though, is we are finally at a point where housing affordability is going in the direction that buyers have been waiting for. Because, John, I did a show last September, and we go through the shows, when rates were peaking at about 7.75, yay, 7.75, you and I did a radio show where we talked about maybe you shouldn't be buying a house right now.
Yeah.
And I remember at the end of the show, you said, you're going to get in trouble for this. And I was like, probably, but here's what we were examining. And you and I were looking at affordability of housing versus what you could get from renting.
Yes.
Because at that time period, people were basing rents. Rents were not going up as fast as mortgage rates were and as fast as your payments were when you have a mortgage tied to that interest rate. So we talked about that. Well, the cool part about where we're at right now is now we're going the opposite direction. Because of where these rates are, especially first-time home buyers and millennials that have been on the fence waiting to buy, this is the cycle that they've been looking for or should be looking at when they look at it. And so I'm going to give you some real-life examples of the difference from last September to this September.
Okay.
So if we look at average prices right now, let's say you're done renting, you're in an apartment, you're like, man, I would look at buying if the time was right and things got better. If we were looking to do that last September, average prices for that house are roughly $400,000. You'd probably put 5% down. So you're gonna put $20,000 down. You're gonna finance $380,000 on that house.
Okay.
Last year, that payment without taxes and insurance was $2,700 for a entry level $400,000 home.
Okay.
So you're probably looking at $3,000 in that situation with taxes and insurance. The difference with what's happened with these rates right now in affordability is right now we're looking at 30-year mortgages, roughly 5.75. The difference now, when you look at that payment now, $2,200. Okay. That's more palatable.
Yeah.
And honestly, if we look at a $400,000 house with what an investor is going to buy and then rent out, a year ago, we were doing that radio show telling you, like, you can rent for $2,200 or $2,300, and if you buy, it's going to be $3,000.
Yeah.
Didn't make a lot of sense for a lot of people, and that's why they were tenants and still on the sidelines. Fast forward just 1 year. That is not a very long time period to see how drastically this thing has changed in housing. Fast forward, you're now back to what I call a very normal market where a tenant and a buyer is looking at a decision. It's always, can I own for the same amount? And so you got to look. And of course, there's always going to be reasons to rent. Like you're only in the area for a couple of years.
Yeah.
You're going to have a job transfer. But as far as the actual purchase decision long term, now you're back at a point with where these rates have come down to and inventory's increased. Back then when we were looking, you had 745 homes on the market last year. Now you have 925 homes on the market. You've got more choices. So your payments change now by $500 to $600 a month. Mm-hmm. You got 200 more homes on the market to pick from. The Fed's brought the rates down. They've talked about guidance that they're going to come down a little bit more next year.
Okay.
Doesn't necessarily mean the market will drive them down that way. You're at a point now where housing affordability, if you were out of the market a year ago, this is a massive, massive change and turnaround within a 12-month period. You want to look back into the market and see what's going on with those choices. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about, it's not always just about payment, but it's about price point that you can look in. So with these rates coming down to where they've come down now, you're going to be shocked at how your buying power has changed. And if you were pre-approved or pre-qualified 8 to 12 months ago, the price range you can look in now, drastically different than it was then.
We'll look at it right here on News Talk 870. Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about interest rates, the Fed making its big announcement this week, dropping rates a half a point. And we've been going over what that means to buyers that have been on the fence, and is now the time to get off the fence? And it very well might be. A lot of things are lining up very, very positively. Before I talk any more about buying power, though, I always like to get my pick three in.
Yes.
Now they're more affordable as we've seen the rates come down, and we've got some awesome ones. I love this pick number one. This is one of those things where every now and then, occasionally, you get a deal where a resale house is better than new construction. A house that was built 2 to 3 years ago. And they're building that same model now, but now you're getting all the extras for free, basically. Yeah. The blinds, the fencing, the landscaping. And I've got it for you. 2303 Skyview Loop. This is a gorgeous polished built home. It is 4-bedroom, 3-bath, 3,000 square feet, Westcliff Heights neighborhood, which has the community pool, the gorgeous community center, great room with soaring ceilings, gas fireplace, and then the views out these windows are just jaw-dropping views. Kitchen is a showstopper, stainless steel appliances, luxurious quartz counters, large island, perfect for gathering, soft close cabinets. And then the primary suite is just like, you probably don't even need to leave. Like, it's just an oasis. So you're getting all of this for $899. If you price this out new construction, you're going to be north of $940 and not have all of the extras that you're getting with this house. Great, great opportunity if you've been thinking about looking in Westcliff. Pick number two, I'm going to take you a little bit outside of the area, McKay.
Okay.
And I'm going to take you to Dayton because we're getting closer to ski season. You need to pop a little ski cabin up there or somewhere to stop in. I got a place for you up there. 1402 South 5th Street in Dayton. This is 3-bed, 2-bath, 1406 square feet, corner lot, fully fenced, super cute place, open kitchen, dining nook. You'll love the pellet stove that comes in there when you come off the ski hill, like I was talking about, McKay.
Okay.
Mature shade trees, large patio for entertaining. If you've thought about looking at a place up in Dayton, $324,000, a lot of buying power up there in that community. Pick number three, I'm taking you back to Richland. I've got 2409 Poland Street. This is a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, 1221 square feet. Kitchen has granite tile counters, oversized laundry room, extra storage space for pantry, second refrigerator, fully fenced backyard, complete with covered patio, raised garden beds, and 2 storage sheds. And that price is coming in at $315,000. So these are even well below some of the entry-level homes that we've been talking about that have become much more affordable in the last couple months as we've seen rates start to fall back. So before the break, I kind of hinted at buying power because we looked at it and talked a lot about payment and what people was affordable for them. But the other thing we run into is buying power when rates have come down. And so the way I define that is last year, if you were approved for a payment of $2,200, and that's a lot of the time how you're going to get approved with your debt-to-income ratios.
Okay.
If we were looking the same time last year and you were looking for a payment of $2,200, you would have been looking at homes that were priced at $330,000.
Okay.
That's roughly what you would have been able to afford with that payment. Same payment today, this is another way of looking at it, for $2,200, same payment today, when you get in the car with me and we go out and look, you're now looking at homes that are priced $400,000, almost $70,000 difference. I got to tell you, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. But if I show you three homes that are 330, and then I go show you what you can get for 400, mm-hmm. there's a huge difference, especially in that price range. You know, if it gets up to 600, if I show you 600 and then I show you 675 or, you know, 710, there's some differences. But if you've been thinking about getting first-time home buyer in that situation, there's a massive difference from 330 to 400 right now. So your buying power has increased dramatically. And really, yes, prices have appreciated some, but they haven't appreciated nearly that much.
Yeah.
So you've increased your buying power, put yourself in a new bracket for home buying. And the other thing that we have working for us right now as these rates come down is a little thing that I like to call shadow inventory.
Okay.
Shadow inventory is probably inventory that did exist, but for financial reasons, we did not see on the market in Tri-Cities. Hmm. So when you look at the stats, this year versus last year, resale is down in Benton County by 1%. But here's the thing. New construction is up by 20%. If you look at Franklin County, resale's actually up 6%. But new construction is up by 32% in Franklin County. A lot of building going on out there. And here's the thing. Why so much building out there and new construction sales happening? No one wants to sell their freaking house when their rate is 2.5 to 3%.
Yep.
So the only options we have for those consumers are taking them to new construction. Now what starts to happen, there's a lot of people last year that if rates weren't at 7 to 7.5, they would have sold their house. They would have decided to move to a bigger house. They would have decided to downsize. But when rates are that expensive and you're locked in on your existing, I mean, try telling somebody, McKay, that wants to downsize. They're living in a house that's too big for them. Mm-hmm. Their interest rate is 2.5%. But they owe some on their house and they want to look. They're probably going to have a small mortgage on whatever they buy. I'm going to go sell them a smaller house and tell them their payment's going to double. They don't even, as soon as I talk to them on the phone, they don't even get in the car with me.
Yeah.
They're just like, you're an idiot. I'm not buying anything. And so that's what they did is they didn't buy anything. That's what I call shadow inventory. Those people would have sold had the environment been different. Now we're getting to where that environment is different. And I tell you what, people, I'm getting the calls from those sellers who are like, my rate was 4. I can deal with 5.5 if we make a change. I couldn't deal with 7.5. We're going to see some inventory like I just went over in my pick 3. We're going to see some of that inventory come on the market. And then I have leading indicators, and a leading indicator, I'm very, very fortunate because we have a property management company. I see a lot of those calls. One way that I start to know that that market is turning is by the number of tenants that are calling me that are ready to buy now. So those calls have started coming in. So we got shadow inventory coming. We got tenants wanting to buy. This is going to be a healthy, healthy fall real estate market. So those are the types of things that we're starting to look at and what people are doing in that situation. And so we're getting ready for that. It extends the summer market is exactly what happens. And then you're also looking at, well, Lance, where will rates go? Well, if I knew that, I wouldn't be doing this radio show or selling. If I knew exactly where they were going, I would just be arbitraging the markets. So I can't say for sure, but all of the Fed's language was that they were going to be moving lower next year. And the Fed's very careful about how they release this information. And quite honestly, if you go and look at the articles, how they release the information was by some what they call a dot chart. And apparently I didn't take that in economics class because I looked at this thing for like 5 minutes and I was like, I can't talk about that on the radio show because I don't. I need to go back to college. But I can tell you I can read and I can read the articles and what they're saying. And if you look at the dot chart long enough and you have an economics degree, then you'll probably find great enjoyment out of it. But I can tell you it does appear that they are going to be pushing. If the economic data starts to slow and the inflation's coming down, they're going to be pushing for those rates to come down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Directly for us in the housing market, awesome news for what's going on.
Yeah.
If you've thought about those decisions, you were on the fence, let's take a peek at what coming off the fence looks like. And if that's the right time for you, we'll get you with one of our advisors and one of our agents, and you can go out and take a look at some stuff. But it's heating up to be a good time to look at some of those purchases. Like I said, go to kenmoreteam.com, hit us up there. You can go to the YouTube channel and subscribe and comment on these videos. And we would love to, you can see Mr. John McKay. You can finally see what he looks like on YouTube. And regardless of if you do any of that, John, I'm going to be right back here next week talking about real estate.
Right here on News Talk 870. Our house.